guys. Dave here, the Dave Van Auken Show, presented by Fight Bananas. Thursday, October 7th, second pod of the week, and it is absolutely jam-packed of characters, fighters, information, previews, ways to make money, and hopefully you guys laugh two, three, four times. Like I said, jam-packed. You ready for this one? How about UFC star Mike Beast Boy Davis? How about UFC star Felicia the Phenomenal Spencer? And guys, how about her brand new segment, UFC-er, podcaster, rebel girl, Ashley Evans-Smith makes her first appearance here under the Fight Bananas banner, here with the Dave Van Auken Show. We go all in with our sex and violence podcast and so much more. This is a stacked pod. Guys, I talked to Taylor Starlin on the Banana and the Bee podcast, and we went all in for 30 minutes, but I do give a little sneak peek preview. Saturday night, Bare Knuckle FC Montana. It's a fight night. It is absolutely stacked. I give you my best bet for UFC Vegas 39. Is it going to be Mackenzie Dern? Is it Rodriguez? So much here. It's action-packed. Let's get into it right now with Ashley Evans-Smith.
By Daniel Martinez. The law offices of Daniel Martinez. I solve problems. Guys, give him a call at any time at 877-5-RIGHTS. That's 877-5-RIGHTS. Or check out the website at martinez.law. Daniel Martinez. The law offices of Daniel Martinez in your corner. 877-5-RIGHTS.
All right, the red light is on. What's up, guys? Dave Van Auken here with Fight Bananas. So excited. Finally going back and forth. We can start. First time ever. Hopefully a weekly thing going on. You know, maybe around 15, 16 years. We'll get to that. We'll get to a really solid relationship. Talking about the one and only Ashley Rebel Girl, Evans-Smith. How are you?
Hey, Dave. I know you are 3 hours ahead over there, so about 1 o'clock. I'm having a good day, just doing lots of media stuff. This is actually my second interview of the day. But I'm really excited to start this relationship. I think it's going to be beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, we can't wait. And like we're 3 hours ahead of you. There's still no Facebook and Instagram. The world has come to an end right now.
I know. It's kind of crazy. I actually am just doing real life stuff, you know?
Right.
I guess I'll do the laundry or whatever from staying off of social media.
Yeah, I'm gonna become a better dad and maybe read a book tonight if we don't get it back. So we'll see. You know, good stuff's gonna happen. But
yeah,
all sure. Right. So this is mainly about you. I love it. Love the podcast. Love the show. So first and foremost, it's great. There's so many podcasts nowadays, and a lot, especially in the MMA space and with fighters, and they're doing their stuff. But yours pops. I don't know if you've heard this or other people tell you. Look at that smile. I love it. You just connect with the people and then who you're talking to. And let's just be honest. It's like you talk about stuff that some people don't like to talk about almost out there in the world. So it's awesome. I'm a huge fan of it. I'm probably listening around 40, 45 episodes. I can't get enough. It's a great, great show.
Have you really listened to 40, 45 episodes?
Yeah.
Whoa. I mean, I honestly feel like that's the biggest compliment you can give me at this point. I put so much work and time into it. And I know it may not seem like it, but it's a really big part of my life right now since I am on the bench. And I do truly love it. I love everything about it, from creating the episode segments to booking the guests to interviewing the guests, trying to make the questions interesting, trying to relate to the guest on a higher level, not just about, you know, how's your weight cut going or what's the game plan look like? Something that's sometimes very hard to get to even on a friendship level, let alone in a 45, 1 hour time frame. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I guess we'll kind of start there. Like when I first did it, I was like, yeah, I'll do it as a hobby. I like it. You know, it'd be cool to talk to people, whatever. And what you just kind of said, like, I love it. Like I caught the bug. In professional wrestling, they say that like you catch the bug, you just want to keep on doing it. And I embrace myself into this world now, and I'm doing it multiple days and with multiple different people and multiple different streams. It's just like, I just love it. I love connecting and finding out new stuff and learning stuff. What was that first moment? What was the light bulb moment for you, Ash, to be like, wow, I want to do a podcast? And not even that, just a podcast. Like, I want to talk about sex and violence.
Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't one specific moment that was like, I'm going to do a podcast. It was just, I listened to a lot of podcasts, and I myself I had light bulb moments listening to podcasts. Yeah. I am 2 years sober. The light bulb moment with my sobriety was from a podcast. I was listening to a fellow MMA fighter who got sober, you know, kicked the bottle, kicked the booze, and how much they were thriving. And I got inspired. After that, I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts and kind of the podcast that got me intrigued about sex podcasts, dating, relationships, and all that. And that's called Guys We Fucked. That is a two comedian females who talk about their past relationships and all that. And when I was listening to that podcast, I was learning things. I was learning things about my body as a 30-something year old woman. I was like, whoa, I didn't know that. So podcasts in those moments building, not only did they inspire me to be a better person, entertain me, but also educated me. And I'm like, whoa, this type of medium is revolutionary, really. It's right. Like you're connecting different people on a one-on-one level all across the world. So yeah. I thought maybe I could do it. Maybe I can use this downtime while I'm healing from my injury to become a podcaster and connect with people.
Totally agree. And it's awesome. I love, like, once in a while, because you don't want to be such result based. I think that's just a bad way to live in almost anything. But once in a while, like, you look at the downloads, you look at stuff, and it's like, wow, like, people from Alaska and like Australia, like, there's thousands of people of Australians listening. And it's like, that's awesome from just a little guy from Florida. But all right, let's get into, like, okay, episode 68. I was in Game Bread Fighting Championship, Biloxi, Mississippi. It was maybe around 2:30 a.m. and maybe a couple drinks and a couple party stuff was going on. But I did listen to the Steffi episode and I loved it. Like, she was definitely, I think, more reserved than other guests on the show. Like one of our dear friends, both of us, Taylor Starlin, who's not reserved, which we love about her. But yeah. you can tell, like, the 20 minute and the 30 minute, 35, she was really starting to, like, open to you and get, you know, kind of just really connect with you. So for one, how did you think that episode went? And what was, like, your favorite moment of the Steffi episode?
Yeah. And, you know, I think I try to do a decent job of structuring the format of the show to kind of shoot the shit, talk about fighting, you know, talk about their dating status, where they're at in the moment, you know, give them a little bit of my personal life. So that makes them feel a little bit comfortable. Like, hey, you're going to open up, I'll open up too. And then maybe at the 30, 45 minute mark, that's when I start asking about sex and what they like in the bedroom and stuff like that. And you get one guest who starts to shell up, and I have a plan for that. And then you get these other guests like Taylor Starling, who's awesome and was just like, fuck it, let's talk about buttholes. Yeah. And it's so funny because sex and relationships and dating, it's very taboo to talk about, but it's something that we all do. We all participate in for the most part, right? Some people have more sex than others, or some people are more monogamous than others, or some people are polyamorous. It's a crazy, interesting, exciting world. And I try not to kink shame and I try not to judge. I'm just here to educate and to promote being yourself, whatever that is. So with Steffi, when she came on, what an amazing, powerful woman, right? A 25-time world record holding power lifter transition into professional boxer. That in itself is awesome. But then you hear some of her background stories about how she's gotten to where she's come or gotten to where she's at and her dating scenarios along the way. And you realize every successful person has some sort of relationship, dating, embarrassing story that also happened to them while they were rising to their success. And Steffi is no different. Amazing woman who is just very educated as well as strong and beautiful aesthetically. So the episode went great. I was very surprised. Her and I also connected on a personal level, which I love. That's definitely my goal. I'm not always going to see eye to eye with every guest, but I try to, you know, find something that we have in common and then talk about that or play devil's advocate, which I've done a couple times in my podcast and, you know, just, you know, try and see things from their point of view. And Steffi, she's just an amazing human. You got to check it out. She opens up about being Venezuelan and Jewish and having her mother kind of almost dictate her dating life in her early years. She's now engaged to her business partner, Hayden, who is very interesting and inspiring in himself. So I won't talk anymore about Steffi Cohen's episode, but you should check it out. Sex and Violence with Rebel Girl, episode 68 with Steffi Cohen.
Absolutely. They got to download. They got to subscribe because that dinner story was crazy. Like, as a guy, I'm like, dude, the dinner story, I was like.
You mean her first date that her mom set her up on, the date from hell?
Yeah. It was awful.
I feel so bad.
It was like nails on a chalkboard through the, you know, iPhone that I was listening to. Okay, last thing, when we'll let you go. We'll let you run. One thing you were saying, and you were like, hey, I have a plan for that. You know, I probably die. I think this is around, you know, just sort of, it's in the round 450. I'm in the 500 podcast world. I've done so many different ones and a couple of different brands and stages of that sort. And I used to have like a paper, and I still do right here, right? I got like a paper. I have something. I used to have like minute by minute and like 15 minute stuff and permanent black marker on some things. And now the more and more I do it, I'm like, no, I got some pinpoints. I got, oh, punk rock. I got podcast light bulb. I got some things here, but like the best organic stuff is organic and it just naturally happens. So when you say you have a plan, is it kind of to go back and, you know, sphere her back in where you want to go and have it more organic? Or do you have a legitimate like MapQuest plan of what kind of stuff you want to go to?
Yeah. So I understand that it's not easy for everyone to talk about sex or relationships, that kind of thing. Primarily sex. Sex is hard to talk about because it's just not talked about in society. So when I say I have a plan to help the guests talk about their sex life, if they even can't vocalize the words, I mean that I've created a segment called the Lightning Sex Round. So if I'm interviewing a guest and they start to shell up every time I mention the word sex, or, you know, if I start to pry a little bit and dig and they start to pull back, that's time for the Lightning Sex Round. And the Lightning Sex Round is a 14 question rapid fire segment where I just ask them one word or one question. For example, do you like to be spanked in bed? And yes. Instead of having to say the words, I like to be spanked in bed, they just say yes, or they say no, and it allows them to talk about their sex lives without actually having to say the words. So that's what I mean by a plan. And I also do this thing that maybe is against podcast unwritten rules, right? Like, it's podcasting is supposed to be this organic, off the cuff, unscripted conversation between two or more people. So they say, but I don't fucking care. I mean, Rebel Girl, right? I really look out for my guests. I care about their feelings, and I'm so honored that they give me their time and they put their personal lives out there like that, because I'm trying to inspire and advocate for equality, not dig for dirt and talk like who's sleeping with who. Yeah, like that's not what it's about. Right. So beforehand, I have a pre-episode call with every guest. I say, hey, what do you want to talk about? What's off the table? And that's very important to me. It's very important to me that my guests and my audience know that this is not a trash talk. This is not Howard Stern taking you, you know, out of nowhere and making you uncomfortable. So that's what I mean when I say I've got a plan. I've got notes and stuff like that, but I tend to over-prepare a lot because I love what I do. And I think that preparation is the definition of confidence.
I love it. I love it. I cannot wait. Week after week, we'll get more into, like I said, this was just the debut and I really want you to connect with our people about the podcast and your stuff. And next week, maybe we'll do, like I said, a ring girl. What do they wear? Or what person? Wow, they got a new tattoo. And everyone was talking about Tracy Cortez's ring, and because with the Brian Ortega picture. So there was, wait.
Are they engaged?
It was wild because in Brian Ortega's picture right before the Volkanovski's fight, she's hugging him and she has a big diamond ring on her finger, and the MMA world went a buzz that we haven't heard anything more, but it was something. So there you go. Just something like that. Something so organic. Last little thing. Next episode's episode 69. Did that come anything to play? Did you ever think, all right, guys, we episode 69. Did that come anything, or was it no? Like, kind of just slipped by.
No, I mean, so unfortunately, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I had two guests have to cancel, and that happens, right? But for us, for you and I, the podcasters, the hosts, it really like takes the wind out of our sails just a little bit, because there is an algorithm. There's something to consistency, right? And the more consistent you are, the better the podcast or the training or whatever it is, right? So a little wind was taken out of my sails. I had two guests, one get COVID and one have to cancel last minute. And so before the cancellation, I strategically had Abigail Mack as a guest for that, because her episode was right before Steffi Cohen's, and Abigail is one in the top 1% of OnlyFans earners. She was the 2020 Female Performer of the Year for the adult entertainment film industry. Right. So we talked about 69, we talked about 89, all the nines, we talked about it all. And face farting and just all this crazy stuff. So that was my plan, but shit doesn't always go as planned, you know, like in fights. So you got to adapt. But episode 69, we got Bazooka Joe, the 2014 Glory kickboxing welterweight champion. Vadalini, Bazooka Joe, what a stud. I'm super excited to have him on. Maybe I'll ask him his thoughts on 69. I don't know.
There you go. That's an icebreaker. Guys, make sure you shop at sexviolencewithrebelgirl.com. Say that five times fast. Ashley, we are so pumped. We're so happy to start our relationship, and we can't wait. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll keep it rolling.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Fight Bananas. Thank you, all the fans. Bye-bye.
Later.
All right, UFC time. UFC Vegas 38 is officially in the books. It was, and like we thought it was, going to be the King Casey O'Neill show. Really good fight by our guys Jared Gordon and Joe Selecki in the main event, which some people snoozed on it. I thought a really cool pivotal fight in the light heavyweight matchup with Thiago Santos moving on and trying to get back to the title fight. So really cool UFC Vegas 38. But you know here, us at Fight Bananas, the Dave Van Auken Show, we just keep churning and moving and rolling. So UFC Vegas 39 this Saturday, not Saturday night, guys. Make sure our fight fans letting you know this now. So hopefully if you hear this and you can thank me later, be like, whoa, it's not at night. You can, get a date night with your significant other and say, hey, can I watch some fights during the day? Couple really cool, intriguing matchup, especially for us Floridian people. Charles Rosa is on the card. Our girl Lupi Gudinus is on the card. Phil Haas and Deron Win. I'm really excited about this fight. It's just a very cool, intriguing matchup. It's the wrestler, the shorter, the wrecking ball of havoc of Deron Win, then the lean, mean, giant Phil Haas striking. It's going to be awesome. I really, really like that fight. It's a really good matchup. Sabina Meza versus Agapova, who I talked with Maria's coach, Roger Kral, at the Game Bread Fighting Championship little after party there at GFC 2. He said she is absolutely ready. She is locked in, ready to go. She's got a little bit of underdog money. I'm going to sprinkle some shekels on that. Between you and me, I like Agapova to get the win and really start, you know, building on. She was one of the hottest prospects of 2020 going forward, and I think she's going to get right back on board. How about the co-main event, guys? Jared Gooden trains a lot of Fusion XL Performance Center, friends with our guy Phil Rowe, Bump Box. Shout out to Bump Box Orlando. Go get one or two. He's fighting UFC veteran Randy Brown, 13-4. He's won three out of his last four, and the losses against a guy you might know him, Vicente Luque, one of the greatest welterweights in the world. So that's a tough matchup. Randy Brown versus Gooden, awesome matchup. Like them both. I feel like they're in the primes of their careers. I know Randy Brown's a favorite, pretty heavy favorite, but I like it. I like the matchup a lot. All right. This is where I want to kind of give 5 minutes to right now. The main event, and people are overlooking it. I see the poster, and people are like, I can tell. I got friends in the business and you know, all the fighters and people DMing me about the shows and of that nature. And I'm knowing that I'm hearing that this fight isn't getting the love. And it deserves it. You ready for this one? This fight is a really, really pivotal matchup here in the strawweight division. I'm talking about Marina Rodriguez, 14-1. Now, Marina is, to me, she's a little bit of an underdog here. She's a plus 145 money, 140 where you can get it. Her, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So she's won 5 out of 6 in the UFC. If you count the contender series, 6 out of 7. And she's defeated Tisha Torres, Jessica Aguilar, Amanda Ribas, Michelle Waterson, the Karate Hottie. Her loss was a split decision to Carla Esparza, who a lot of people thought Carla was going to get the title match against Rose. So I think Marina is in a better spot and is higher on the, you know, on the ranks than what people think. So now Marina, and why she is the underdog, and I think people are kind of sleeping on her. For one, her striking is so crisp. The boxing of Marina, to me, is going to get the job done. And I love her in this underdog fashion. I love her here. She's being overlooked. She's fighting Mackenzie Dern. Mackenzie Dern now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So she's got 6 out of 7 wins in the UFC. So, guys, we're in the 115-pound division. And we got 5 out of 6 wins on one side and 6 out of 7 on the other. So that should show you how highly ranked these girls are. The winner, especially in a stoppage win, can get a title shot. I'm not kidding. I think this can be right there against Carla if they, you know, substitute anything, or maybe a number one contendership. How about Carla versus Marina again, split decision? Or how about Carla versus Dern? That fight hasn't happened yet in the UFC. But I want to go here. So Dern's only loss is to Amanda Ribas, who, like I just said, Marina defeated her. So in MMA math, it says, you know, Marina should get the job done. But we all know that's not how it goes. And the you know, it's stylistic and matchups. And, you know, that was 2019. Now we're in 2021. You know, so Dern is coming back. To me, in the last 3-4 fights have looked awesome. We got, in her last 4 fights, we got three first round finishes, 3 out of the 4 were submissions with 2 arm bars and a sick knee bar to Hannah Cyphers. So I just think, you know, Dern is being aggressive, getting the job done. And I think that's good for Marina. I think you want Dern moving forward and trying to be aggressive and trying to get this fight on the ground. And I think Marina's going to try to pick her apart. This is a good fight. I have no shade at all to this fight. The card is stacked. The card is connected to me, so I understand if some people are sleeping on this card. That's fine. You guys will miss it. And for one, I'll make a ton of money on BetOnline.ag. That's BetOnline.ag. Give them some love. They might be joining the team soon. So hopefully, you guys pick the right one here. Let me go. Should I kind of give you this right now? Let's see. Let's go for it. Let's do it. Let's do it right here on the spot. I'm going to give you guys a couple Dave's action right now. Usually, you know, I like to do it a segment and all that stuff. So, like I said, main event, I'm going with Marina right here at a plus 145 dog. I like her a lot. I think it's probably properly priced. I think Dern has a lot of backing. She has the look. She has the UFC behind her, so I can understand. But if you're going to give me Marina at plus 145 against anyone in the division, except for Rose, I'll take. So I like that a lot. Loopy is at a minus 190 against Sam Hughes, and I respect Sam a lot. I just think this will be Loopy's first UFC win. A lot of people thought she defeated Jessica Penne in her debut. Didn't go her way, but I like Loopy a lot there at minus 190. So I got a dog in Marina. I got a favorite with Loopy. Let me give you one more. Oh, yeah, here we go. So Maria Agapova. I got 3 female fights. Didn't even mean it that way, but I'm just trying to get you guys money. Agapova at plus 140. Give me that all day long, and I wouldn't be mad at you guys if you want to go with a double dog parlay. If you want to match up Marina and Agapova and match those together, we're probably in the plus 4,500 range, and we can make some money. So throw 100, throw away a stack on that, throw a stack on the plus, and we're gonna make $470 with Agapova and Marina Rodriguez winning both at UFC Vegas 39. So there we go. That was a little bit of Dave's action and my preview of UFC Vegas 39. You're welcome, guys.
Mike Davis, the red light is on. UFC stud. Dave Van Auk and Dave Van Auk Show. What's up, dude?
Not too much. I'm feeling really good.
Dude, I like the hat, man. I like that. I'm vibing the hat.
Color. Yeah, this is a compliment hat, Dave. I've been getting compliments on this hat all day.
There you go. There's the hat nothing. Game. Mike Davis 1, Dave 0. So you're winning. Man, all right, crazy week. We always look ahead, and that's why I love kind of bringing you on, because it kind of – you know this, man. It's like every single day, every single weekend, a new win, a new fight or something else. It's like the flavor of the month, a new ice cream flavor, right? And I always love going back. There's so many great performances over the last 10 days. You know, yes, we talked off air about it. Bo Nickel made his amateur debut, looked phenomenal. Game Bread Fighting Championship had a great card in the Bare Knuckle TV app. Alex Nicholson, someone that you you know, punched a couple times in the face. He had a great main event victory. Bellator MVP defeated Lima in the rematch. UFC Vegas this past weekend, Santos won the main event, but one person definitely attracted our eye. King Casey O'Neill just keeps on winning fights, finishing people. So, hey, man, a lot there to unpack. Who's someone who caught your eye over the last week or so?
I would have to agree with Casey O'Neill.
Okay.
Like I mentioned before, she's 3-0 in her UFC debut year.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. And she's not just fighting bums, and she's not just fighting. She's finishing all of her fights. So
right.
Her last fight this weekend, she finished the champion's sister. Displayed some really good work getting people to the ground from a striking aspect, and managed to finish it with hammer fists and get the TKO. So, or referee stoppage, I wouldn't call that one, but man, yeah. It was impressive. She's impressive. She got performance of the night too.
50K.
Yeah, 50K always makes everything better.
So okay, when I saw King Casey O'Neill, right, for the very first time, so this is your pick, the beast pick is King Casey. One thing, and I probably, you know about this because how much you spar with people and see outside the octagon and see in training of that sort, like, she has a ton of swag. You know what I mean? Like, she has a ton of, she believes in herself, like, inside the octagon and outside the octagon. How important is that to have that confidence? Like, she feels, I can feel it through the screen, like, she's going to run through this girl. It doesn't matter. Like, she just has this confidence about her. How important is that in the fight game?
Extremely important. And honestly, it's something that you need to practice.
Right.
While you're sparring, you have to develop your own sense of who you are and how you're going to do things. And no matter what it is that you have to put it onto somebody and do it the way you want to do it and make it work that way. And she has a good way of doing that. She definitely holds her own, and she shows that her style is working for her very, very well.
Yeah, like, okay, with that.
It's important to have your own swag. I know people try to copy people, but it just doesn't work. If you're your own person, your own swag, you're going to stand out.
How far can she go? Like, if you had to say right now, she's fought 3 times this year, 3 wins, 3 stoppages. Do you think she can literally go all the way to the top? She can be in a title fight soon. She can be world champ. Or do you think, she's super young too? If I remember offhand, she's like a 22 or 23 year old. Does she need to kind of, there's a lot of tough girls in the division. You know, there's a lot of people that's been veterans, have 10 fights in the UFC. Do you think she's going to have a couple of rough moments? Or do you like, hey, Dave, she's going to like John Jones it and just like rock the shit to the top?
I think when she finds someone that can keep her on the feet, she's going to have trouble. But I do. I mean, I met her in Tiger Muay Thai on the tryouts. So,
right.
I mean, she was doing great out there. She was showing her striking. She was putting it all together, showing that she is an MMA fighter and why she's undefeated. I think that when she finds or gets matched up with someone who can grapple and wrestle the same as she can, that she's going to have a hard time. But as long as she keeps working on her striking, since her grappling is so good, she might be able to overcome that. I say she's a top 5, right? Or I'll give her top 10 right now. She deserves someone in the top 10 to see what she can do.
Yeah, no, I'm with it. It's, a lot of female fights, they get 3 stoppages in a row. That kind of shows your levels above. Like, she's not just, she's winning the fights and not winning them 30-27 or 29-28. She's stopping girls early, too. I think 2-2 rounds and 1 in the first round.
I agree with that. A lot of girl fights go to decision.
Right.
They're tough, and they're normally, like, clashing the whole fight. But she's finishing people, so I definitely give her steps above everyone else.
I agree, man. That's a good pick. Sometimes we go back and forth. There's nothing there. The King Casey O'Neill is the beast pick of the time. Like I said, throughout, Bo Nickel was a really great performance. Yeah. Just had him on the pod. It was awesome. Alex Nicholson is back.
I listened to that one. That was good.
Oh, appreciate it.
Yeah, that was new.
Bo's a good dude, man. He's a good guy.
I was glad to see him in the gym. He's down here at American Top Team. It's cool.
Okay.
Very well-decorated wrestler. He's very cool.
Right. That's awesome, man. Well, there you go. Mike Beast Boy Davis, American Top Team. Mike, we're going to see you soon. Are you, last time you were on, you were like,
I'm coming to the next one.
Huh?
I'm coming to the next event.
Ooh, okay. There we go. It's on record.
I'm coming. I'm going.
Awesome.
My birthday is Thursday, so I might even be up this weekend to see what everyone's doing.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Sounds good, man. Let us know. Mike Beast Boy Davis, give him a follow. Mike Davis MMA on the IG. His beast pick of the past week was King Casey O'Neill. This week coming up, we'll see. It's a really cool main event too. Another female fight, Marina Rodriguez, who's a badass, underrated, plus 140 dog against Mackenzie Dern. I like Marina a lot, but we'll see. But Mike, we'll talk to you next week. All right, brother?
Yeah, of course.
All right, awesome. Man.
There we go, guys. Two UFC studs down. One more to go. Felicia Spencer is coming on next. But right before Felicia Spencer, here is my preview for Bare Knuckle FC Fight Night, Montana. And it's Killer Beast style.
Saturday night, Bare Knuckle FC Fight Night. The first ever fight night live from Billings, Montana. Main event, Big Joe Daddy Riggs versus Melvin Gallard, two UFC vets. But come on. Come on, guys. You know where I'm going with this. The people's main event, our main event, your main event is Killer B. Taylor Starlin is back in the Bare Knuckle FC Square Circle. She's facing Randy Ekholm. So can't wait. Let me get into this real quick. So you know, on a different little platform, we have the Banana and B podcast, and we went all into it. It's fight week, so we talk with Taylor. Taylor's about to fly out to Montana, and we go all in about fight week pros, cons, misses, great things about it, energy about it, some negative shit about it, and just go back and forth. It's a great time. If you can, I appreciate it, guys. Slide over there. Right now it's on YouTube. It's about to be on Apple Podcasts and all podcast platforms. It's right now only on YouTube, the Banana and B podcast. So, but not just going to go just with Taylor. For one, Taylor opened up, and you know, a lot of people weren't happy about the matchup. And she opened up as a minus 350 favorite versus Radin. Okay, that's fine. It did blow up. I'm not going to lie. Right now, Tuesday, she's at minus 600. So that means it is heavy money is being bet on the Killer Bee. We assume Taylor's going to get the job done. That would be three in a row. We're going to see what's next. I'm excited for the walkout. I'm excited for what she's going to wear. No spoiler alerts at all here. I'm excited for what she might have to say up her sleeve. So I'm so excited. Saturday night, make sure you guys get it, guys. The Bare Knuckle TV app. Taylor Starlin has a referral. I might copy that and put it here in the guts of the podcast. But that's Saturday night, Bare Knuckle FC Fight Night, Billings, Montana. Also, though, on the card, though, guys, I really do want to shine some light real quick. Maybe one of the best matchups of the card is Christine Ferreira versus Cassina Sagado. Guys, this is a great matchup. Christine right now, a minus 250 favorite. Christine's a monster. She knows she's got a lot of time in that squared circle. She's got a lot of veteranship, a lot of ringmanship. I feel like she's the captain. You know what I mean? I feel like she's in charge when she's in the ring. So that's a really, really cool matchup. And a couple of little sleeper ones. I got a big bet on a underdog here lower in the car. I'm not going to give you that run right now. So that's Bare Knuckle FC. Little preview there. We got Riggs versus Gallard. I'm going to go with Riggs there in the main event. I think he's at a minus 240 dog. Mean favorite. I got Christina Ferreira getting the job done. And of course, we got Killer B in exciting fashion. The only way Killer B knows how to fight in a first round TKO. So there we go. There is the Bare Knuckle FC Fight Night Montana preview.
What's up, guys? Dave here with Fight Bananas. Another Felicia Spencer phenomenal pick. We're here in Orlando, Florida at the Jungle MMA and Fitness. We got Fluff. We got the co-host. We are good to go. Hey, Felicia picked Nico Price last week with a win. We're trying to get a winning streak going. A really cool event, UFC Vegas 39. It's during the day. Super excited for it. A really cool main event, but I'm intrigued to see and hear your pick. Felicia, what you thinking?
So before I get into it, though, I wanted to mention that main event.
Okay.
Dern, Rodriguez.
Love it, by the way. Love this main event.
What do you think the winner, stacks up as far as, contender for the title?
Both uber close, right? We talked about it. I definitely think if Dern wins, she has more buzz around her name. She's had buzz going into the UFC. I think Dern
maybe even gets over Carla or right to Carla Esparza right away, and there's some kind of injury. Maybe they can even do like a Rose versus Carla, and Dern could be a backup fighter, something of that nature. It's really intriguing to see what happens with Rose and Weili too, because you never know if there could be a trilogy fight or anything of that nature. Marina, who I really like a lot, who I already bet money on Monday morning when I saw the line, I think she's an absolute stud. I love her striking ability. I think her name doesn't have the buzz and around her, so I think she definitely needs at least one more and then a title match or a title eliminator, or we can see Carla versus Marina in January. That'd be really cool as well, too. So both right there.
I like it. Yeah, okay. It's really interesting to see where they'll stack up, like what happens with the division, because they're right there. But my pick is going to be in the co-main event.
Okay.
No one really stood out on the card as like who I had to pick. But when I started doing some research, Randy Brown and Jared Gooden, it's a great matchup. I like both guys, but I feel like Gooden is in a position where he almost has to win. I feel like he got his debut in the UFC was in 2020.
Yep.
He had two losses in a row. He's coming off of a win, but being 1-3 is way worse than being 2-2 in the UFC, and especially starting out. Randy Brown's been around for 7 years in the UFC, wins, losses only to the best guys, beat a lot of the best guys. So he's kind of doesn't have that same pressure, I think, going into it.
Fluffy agrees.
Yeah,
Fluffy agrees.
He knows about the pressure of life.
It's such a good pick. Like, yeah. And Randy Brown is such a good, his record's awesome. A lot more fights than I thought. Won 4 out of 5 in the UFC. His only loss in the last 2.5-3 years was to Vicente Luque, who's a stud who doesn't lose. Jared Gooden, yeah, needs this one. I kind of like it. It's a knockout, a power guy, kind of with a, you know, living on the edge a little bit. He's kind of going for it. I like that pick a lot. I can see something, and I think that fight will be a stoppage early. First round, maybe begin the second. Either way, I think if Gooden doesn't get that big power shot, I think Randy will be good enough with counters and slippage, and I think he will piece Jared up if he doesn't get that big power shot.
Right.
So I think the fight will end.
It's definitely a risky pick, but it's my pick too.
Hey, no, I like it. That's what we are here at Fight Bananas. Felicia Spencer, phenomenal pick. We don't pick the favorites. Yeah, I agree. Love, we go with the underdogs. Jared Gooden's like a plus 275, 300 underdog, so that's a good pick. I love it.
Yeah,
all right. Cool. There we go, guys. Felicia Spencer's phenomenal pick, Orlando, Florida. Fight Bananas. We're out.